The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
You know what, guys? I love that guy's voice. Anybody know who that voice is that does the intro to our Generations Radio? Think about it now. The famous Frank B. Shaner. He's living on Maui now. Frank, I'm not too sure if you listen to us very often, but hope everything's doing well up in Maui there. Anyway, welcome to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, the host, publisher and editor of Generations Magazine. And thank you all for sending me comments via email and texts. And some of you have actually even called me for resources. But thanks for tuning in. We've been doing this now for pretty close to almost a year. We've done a lot of shows, and thanks to Mapu here, who's filming for a Facebook page. Thank you for Mapu, because by the time you listen to this show, all our past shows will be uploaded on our YouTube channel, where you go to YouTube and just click in Generations Magazine. Make sure you do follow us and like and subscribe to us, our channel, because that way, whenever a new show is posted, you'll get a message on that. And so don't forget to also go to our Facebook page for the you do that Facebookers. I know Dita always over here at Salem Media always checks my Facebook page out, but it's really important because we're going to be posting every other day great information, great stories that's in the magazine, great topics on the radio show. So thanks to Mapu, our social media girl. She's doing a wonderful job. So thank you very much. Anyway, you know, I'm 57. I went to MidPac, and a lot of you may know that, and our classmates are really close, and it's hard for people that haven't been in a dorming situation in high school. It's even totally different than college, but dorming in high school was a tremendous experience, and some of my best friends today are still my classmates, even though I may not see them as often as I would like because of just life. But, you know, unfortunately, one of our classmates passed away recently, and we got together, one of the bigger groups we've had in a while, actually. For the funeral. And after the funeral, you know, we get something to eat. I love the anagi. And we're sitting around talking story. And slowly, we start talking about our parents. Slowly, we talk about our classmates that may have had health issues. There are a few that had health issues at 57 years old. But then we start talking about our families and friends. And, you know, we grew up as guys. I mean, we went to each other's grad parties. We did a lot of fun stuff back in the day. And so one of my classmates, we were talking about what's been going on with life and how eventually all our conversations were turning to how's your mom? How's your dad? Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, really? Oh, then doing this. And slowly more and more people are feeling and facing the same dilemma of caring or worrying about our parents. So I had a great idea, and I'm happy that he was agreed to come on the show. His name is Alvin Suzuki, my classmate from Waipahu. And he's agreed to come on and talk about his story about his parents and really more about the dilemma and the years of eventually now having to place his mother in a facility, but what he's been going through emotionally, with a relationship with his wife, with his mother, his dad, and what's been going on. So, Alvin, thank you, and welcome to the show, by the way.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Percy.
Have you ever been on radio, by the way?
No, I haven't been on radio before, no.
But he's one of the greatest talkers. You know, people that know us from our class, they know Alvin as the storyteller. I mean, you're really good at that. Even raising your daughter, I know you tell, we would tell stories when we're at the beach house. But anyway, welcome to the show. So Alvin, you're besides my classmate, a business person.
Yes.
And you've been very successful. You have a family. And then, as we all do, we all have parents that at some point going to slow down. So what I wanted to do really today, Alvin, is kind of give people, and I'm sure people listening, because a lot of baby boomers listen to our radio show, probably what you're going through right now, or they know they're going to go through it.
Right.
And I just want to kind of have a conversation about what you've been going through.
Yeah.
And some of the things I know you're very resourceful. You're one of the smartest guys I know, but you know how to address and how to balance that life. And I know it's been very difficult for you. So what happened over the years? Your dad passed away first, right? Was his health bad or your mother's health bad?
Oh, well, he had a heart attack. And so that happened 3 years ago. And my mom was, being cared for by my brother.
So your mom needed care three years ago?
Actually, just living in the house. Carrying on, that went okay for the last, 2-3 years. And then
since your father passed away.
Since my father passed away. And then at the beginning of this year, at the beginning of this year, I was still picking her up, taking her grocery shopping, having lunch at Zippy's. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that.
That's okay.
Having lunch at Zippy's and just pretty much carrying on like that. And then all of a sudden, my wife and I, we went on a trip to see our daughter in college. And then I started having calls while I was up in the mainland. And the calls were like, hey, Alvin, you better go and check in on your mom. I mean, she's not doing well right now. And
is that your brother saying this?
These are, it was like my mom. It was almost like she was reaching out. She was calling people from the past, many years ago. And then, like,
her friends.
Her friends or her
relatives.
Her friends' kids, And then they're getting calls, and then they're like, hey, wow, why are you reaching? Why are you calling? And then she would say, I'm not well. And so I don't know why. I haven't to this day asked why she didn't call me directly, but she was reaching out to other people. And they in turn were calling me while I was on the mainland. And I better call her right away, And then as soon as I got home, within 2 days, I met her. And then after that, within the week, she was living with me. I mean, she moved
within
in.
Within a week?
Within a week. I brought her into my home. And I think,
Was she willing to do that, though? Because a lot of parents are not.
Well, I think she realized that she wasn't well physically. Something was wrong. I think she needed to be checked out. And so I brought her in. And I guess my intentions were, I'm going to go and look for some facility that maybe would help her.
Did you know what kind of health issues she had that she had?
No, not at the time.
Did you ever go to the doctor with her before?
Well, actually, we assumed it was just general aging. Mm-hmm. So, but when we went to urgent care, she did a blood test, they realized that her numbers were wrong. I mean, it was bad. So what happened is they called me within a few hours and said that I have to take her to emergency. So
really,
yeah. So I took her to Queens, and they admitted her. She was in there for like 3 days, and then after that, they told me that. And I guess this is like what happened is that this was maybe chapter one of the start of a whole different part of my life now, beginning, when I looked back.
So did you ever go to the doctor with her before that?
No, she was pretty much being taken. Well, I would actually take her to the doctors, but I wouldn't sit in and see, So
that's one of the tips I try to give people is to know what's going on with the parents' health issues. Obviously, if she didn't have any health issues before, she's living by herself at home, fine. But if anything happens, or like actually this morning, when I on the way coming into the studio here, I called my dad because I had dinner with my dad last night. And he said, when he went home, he's going, I might have to take mom to the hospital. Out of the blue, he said that before he left. I said, is she okay? He goes, well, she wasn't feeling good when I left. So I texted my sister who lives near my dad. I say, it's like 9 o'clock at night. I say, you know what? Can you follow up in the morning? Because dad said he might have to take mom to the hospital last night. So my sister is the one that really spends a lot of time with them because she lives closer to them. And so called him this morning on the way to the studio. And he said, no, he's fine. She's fine. Just resting. But that is important that somebody in the family knows some of the health issues, knows the doctors, whether they go to one or three or five doctors, just so they know that the family's here if they need anything. A lot of times the senior parent may not want to say what the health issues are.
Right.
Because a lot of times if they do, they're going to prescribe more medicine.
Right.
And they don't want to do that.
I see. You know? Yeah. I think maybe, you know, the generation before us, I mean, they like to sort of maybe not rely so much on the doctors.
Right. And they don't want to bother the family.
And they don't want to bother the family. So, I mean, I think, you know, like as time has passed, the way we see healthcare in terms of with doctors, also in terms of just a lot of cultural things too. I mean, like me being Japanese, like bothering the family and that sort of thing, not imposing. I got to tell you though, like, so when I brought her into my home, I think.
But you said, within a week you came back from the trip to see your daughter in the mainland. Within a week, she decided she was already living with me.
Wow,
that's kind of quick.
Yeah, and then she was also.
How did your wife deal with that?
Yeah, I know. Actually,
that's another story.
That's a whole different chapter. We'll see if we have enough time to talk about that. but I guess my point is that, like, I mean, I guess one thing I wanted to really touch on was that, like, when this happened, when she moved into the home, and prior to actually, I was in my mind, I was thinking of putting her in some facility that would help her. But the thing I thought about when you told me to come in and kind of talk about my experiences, one of the things is that my mom, she had said that she doesn't want to go in a home.
You know, she said that.
She said that. Okay, she said that. You know, just sort of just said it. I mean, it wasn't like being very adamant about it. She just said, if I could, I would not want to be in a home. So, you know, but in the 10 days, she stayed with me 10 days before she went into the hospital.
Was that the first time she's ever lived with you though, by the way?
Yeah. In fact, it was, you know, like I live in a townhouse, so it's not like really, catered for like having someone elderly in there because it's a three-story townhouse. But I think within the 10 days that she was with me, she realized that it wasn't going to work regarding she living with me. And when she went into the hospital, she said that it's all right that she goes into some facility to help her.
That's unusual because a lot of the parents in stories I've heard and seen that, including my parents, they want to stay in their own home. It's comfortable, it's safe, they know where everything is.
Right.
You know, but she knew she needed more care, I guess. Huh?
You know, I mean, it was something that I actually thought about, and I realized that I think, you know, my mom is from Japan. I don't know if you know that.
Right, I know that.
I think, you know, she probably realized that it was difficult for me to do this because I, you know, like I have a daughter that's third year now in college and she's on the mainland. And so there's a lot of money that I have to sort of worry about. And I think she sort of put it together in her head that, like, I mean, all of this wasn't going to come together. And I actually have to give my mom a lot of credit for this because I've heard of stories where parents who are adamant about not going to a home, it sort of makes it very difficult for the caregiver to sort of put it all together regarding their own family, in regards to like their mom or their dad, and there's a lot of emotion that kind of welled up in me. That kind of came out, you know. There's still that sense of guilt that, you know, I had to, you know, look for a facility to put my mom into. So
a lot of people go through that a lot. And what's interesting is that most of the time they promise, "I'll never put you in a care home."
Uh-huh.
But so it's interesting, I guess, because your mom was in Japan, they didn't want to bother you so much, as long as you guys could afford it, because it's very costly to live in a facility. But I guess she didn't want to burden you, because you have enough to worry about with your daughter in college and paying for college. And
well, I got to tell you though, like, you know, like when I brought her in, my intentions were actually to actually care for her. You know, I mean, I don't know for how long.
Have you ever done that before?
I've never done that before.
Did you have to care for your father, or was that pretty quick?
He passed suddenly, you know, from a heart attack.
Wow, so, that's kind of like the best way to go. I want to go that way.
Yeah, me too. I think. I mean, not
because you don't want Alzheimer's dementia.
Going through what I've been going through.
Yeah.
But I think I think it's like she had this. She realized the situation, and I give her a lot of credit because I think if she had remained adamant about not wanting to go in a home, it would have really backed me into a corner because, I mean, it's sort of like, I think, regarding my family situation.
It's hard on spouses.
I
give a credit a lot of spouses that do just bend their backward to
exactly
try to appease the family.
Exactly. It is. It was very difficult. I got to tell you, it was really difficult. So when she said that it's okay that she goes into a home, then that really helped me in terms of my options.
And so she came to your house within a week when you get back from the mainland, and she stayed with you 10 days
before actually doing the blood test where they found the numbers being down.
Right.
And at that point, when they found the numbers being down, then it started this chapter of like going from a hospital to a therapy facility, and then looking for I know the terms now, like the assisted living and also skilled nursing facilities, having to look for that, having been going back into a hospital because of her health.
So after your 10 days at your house, did she go directly to a hospital? Did she need
She went to
care?
A hospital because her numbers were down. And she spent three nights at Queens where they sort of tried to kind of get it up in terms of...
Was it her diet, probably? Dehydration?
Actually, it was. She has kidney problems.
Okay.
So she had kidney failure. And so that was causing like low potassium and a number of things, I think. And then once they brought it up, she actually had edema from the kidney failure. And so that was fluid buildup in her legs. And because of that, she was having problems walking. And then I guess spending so many nights in the hospital, they wanted to get her back walking again.
And she walking now? Because my mom, we just bought my mom a scooter.
Uh-huh.
She had a hard time walking.
Yeah.
And but she likes it. She gets to go on the airplane. Yeah. She got back from Vegas this week. She gets to go on the plane first.
Yeah. 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 I give her credit for that because you're able to make the transition. Whereas I think some people maybe it's like it kind of marks a different point in their life when they have to maybe go in a scooter, you know?
Yeah. But, well, I think it took a little while to do that because she didn't, mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't even want to use a cane or a walker. She went straight to a scooter. So
that's exactly how my mom was too. Yeah. So the 10 days that she was in my place, she went from a cane and I bought a walker. And then she was afraid of using the walker because of the stairs in my place too.
So did you have to buy one, or did they give you one, or did you?
I was able to get one from my mother-in-law. She had a walker and actually a wheelchair too. So
really,
it was really nice that she helped me on that. In fact, she was also the one that recommended looking for some skilled nursing facility for my mom, knowing how that would be having her in our place being a detriment to our marriage.
It's hard. I mean, I have relatives living with my cousins, mm-hmm. and it's very difficult. I mean, because it's a different stage in your lives, mm-hmm. and anybody with health issues, it just adds so much more concern in your own life where you never had it. So you went from 0 to 10 really quickly.
Yeah, because it wasn't like, she's just having problems walking now. It was basically not being able to walk at all. And all of a sudden, you know, it was stage 3 kidney failure when she came in, when she went to the hospital first time. And since then, she's gone to stage 4 now.
Really?
Yeah. And so it was a very quick sort of progression, you know, in terms of her decline. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's the other side too. I mean, I guess like people don't understand the psychological side of all this. I mean, in terms of, you know, like the image that I have of my mom, mm-hmm. you know, that you pretty much carry throughout your life, and all of a sudden you see the decline, and then all of a sudden, like even yesterday, I'm feeding her, you know, and you know, she can't even pick up, she can't even lift the fork or the spoon.
So she bed bound already now?
Well, she's wheelchair bound. And and then pretty much she's in you know, they have to, she can't get out of bed on her own. So she's in a skilled nursing facility. Mm. Again, these are things that I had to learn. All
very
these
quickly.
Jargons, you know, like
yeah, it's only
nursing.
Been how many months? 2 or 3 months now.
It's been
2 months,
maybe going into my almost four now. I think, you know, but like, but you know, I mean, you know, I got to tell you that, you know, you pretty much were talking about all of this,
yeah,
all, you know, prior to all this happening, and then I think, you know, you kind of touched upon the funeral that we were at, and then I sort of started talking about it. To our classmates, and you could tell that. I mean, I felt like a born again Christian, where I was sort of like preaching to the flock and saying, "You better listen, because you know, this is going to come about." And then you could see though that a lot of our classmates, I guess, in somewhat semi denial, or you know, I can see that their thoughts are. Oh, I'm going to take care of my folks. I mean, don't worry about it. You know, we're going to probably make room.
I get that almost every day.
Yeah.
I got this. Don't worry about it. There's a newscaster that I talk to. Mm-hmm. I got it. Don't worry. Well, that newscaster is not working anymore mm-hmm. for taking care of the mom. But it happens so often. And you're right. People don't have a clue sometimes, or may have a little bit. One of our classmates, the brother's taking care, right?
Yeah.
And I brought up all these issues. What happens if he can't someday? What about his wife? Is his wife okay with it? You know, if they build an ADU next door, the mom can stay there. But, you know, one thing I always tell people is it only gets worse.
Right.
I was a bit with my dad's friends last night, and a couple of them were like in the 70s. I said, they're pretty healthy. So I got this. Don't worry. I said, now, what's happened 10, 20 years from now? How is your health going to be? How much mobility are you going to have? And, you know, it's different. You know, I do workshops every month, and the dynamics when you're talking to a male or a father versus a female mother, mm-hmm. and if you talk to them together and then separately, it's so different. The mm-hmm. mentality of the men versus the women, because women gave birth to the child. They're very nurturing and caring, mm-hmm. where guys, mm-hmm. they don't quite get it. I remember... talking to his family, and the dad said, "Don't worry about me. Just worry about mom." I said, "Yeah, you don't worry about yourself, because you know you have somebody that's going to care for you. Mm-hmm. But when mom's gone, who's going to take care of mom?"
Right.
You know.
Right.
So we're here with my classmate Alvin talking about dealing with family issues, and just what we wanted to do today was kind of walk people through, if you haven't gone through it already, walk through what's going to happen. And the conversations you have to have, not only with your spouse, but your family, mm-hmm. with your own parent, right. about where they want to age in place. Mm-hmm. So your house, she's not going to, does she think she's going to ever go back to her home?
No, I don't think so. I don't think she thinks that at all. Because she realizes that, I mean.
She needs more care.
She needs care. I mean, you know, if she can't get herself out of bed, I mean, there's no way that she can live independently anymore.
So I know last time we talked, we're talking about the stage where you put her in Queens, and for a lot of people who don't know, Medicare covers, 100% of the first 30 days? Well, you have to be in a hospital for these 3 days.
Okay.
Then they have to refer you out for rehab, right?
Right.
And rehab, how long was she in rehab?
I think they would go up to 20 days.
Yeah, it's 100% for 20 days.
20 days.
And then a percentage after that, yeah.
And then I think if they feel that they need her to remain longer, I think up to 100 days.
Yeah, but it's a percentage of
is
that.
Is it a percentage?
Yeah,
okay.
Not,
we didn't get there because we left, you know, prior. Well, actually, we stayed maybe 2 extra days, and I actually did get a bill from the
cover a percentage or a certain amount per day
right.
after that.
I think it was about 50% is what I thought. I saw.
People don't realize that. They always say that 100-day marker, but it's not.
It's 50% maybe.
Yeah, 20 days, you're right, is 100% after that. And that's only if they're getting better.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
I was talking to a family member of ours, and they called me up. Dad's here. I said, well, okay, now just remember, rehab means rehab.
Right.
If you don't get better, they can kick you out.
And it's not also getting better. I think they need to see the patient trying.
Right.
Trying to get better. Because I think my mom, at some point, she was trying, but she wasn't. Maybe they felt that she wasn't making the effort. So at that point, they can cut you off there, too.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
That's prior to 20 days.
That's very true. We had a relative that didn't want to, because this person got depressed and had a stroke and couldn't do the things they were doing before.
Right.
And sure enough, the family member called me up, say, Percy, they want to let my dad go it's Wednesday, by Friday. So why? They can stay longer. Only if they don't get better. He goes, my dad is just sulking, depressed, didn't want to do anything, didn't want to get out of bed, didn't want to eat.
Right.
So, well, you just got to understand him. And this is what happens, especially with men, where their ego and the way they think is different.
Right.
And they don't talk to other people. Women, they'll talk to their daughter, talk to their sister, neighbor, whatever. But men just don't do that. And so I told them I would go down and talk to them and make them understand that if they don't get better, it's only going to get worse.
Right.
And sure enough, they had to place that person, and they thought they could stay at the facility. But this facility, most facilities have skilled nursing beds for Medicare.
Right.
But if it's full, it's full.
Right.
And if you're coming from the outside, if you don't currently reside there, there's no guarantee you can stay in there.
Right.
So if you reside there, pretty much they'll give you the bed. But if you're outside coming in, or if you're just staying in Medicare, then you want to stay longer, but if somebody within the facility need that bed, you're going to get kicked out.
And that's another part. I mean, like, I think when all of this started rolling, you know, like while she was in Queens, the social worker came up to me and said, we will probably be releasing her tomorrow, but this is a list of facilities that you can send her to. Which one do you want to send her to? And
that's all she said. Did it explain
anything?
Well,
they gave the list, right?
But they didn't tell you.
They just said that they're basically somewhat neutral, I guess. They're not going to tell me you should go here or go there, because they're sort of representing.
They should have some basic things like, where do you live? Maybe you want to choose someplace where you live or where you work.
They did give me that. I mean, they're not going to, but they're not going to tell you this is a good facility.
Oh no,
that's
they shouldn't.
It's not, yeah,
it
should, they can't do that. So like,
did they tell you go visit different places?
Well, I had only a day, though. I mean, they're released. So that's
another thing.
That was a shock. I mean, like, so, I mean, I guess my point is that, like, you know, like you were talking about this, you know, a long time ago with us. And, you know, I was probably one of the ones that turned a deaf ear to you, too.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the experiences that I've gone through, I think the one lesson that I feel that people need to understand is that the more knowledge you have about everything regarding aging, the more knowledge you have, the much sounder your decision making will be.
Yeah.
But like being put in a situation like that.
But one day.
One day.
Wow.
And then so I basically chose the facility that was closest to my home so I could visit her every day.
That's typical.
You know, but again, that doesn't necessarily mean that was the best.
Well, lucky thing there was a bed there.
There was a bed.
Can you imagine there's no bed there?
Right.
Because it's full? And it happens quite often.
And I've also been told that, like, different facilities will have people coming in, and they don't necessarily have to offer a bed to your
no.
You know, let's say if your dad is very ornery and very. Maybe not violent, but just very loud and
abusive,
or that's going to be disruptive in terms of the whole facility, then they cannot offer you a bid. So
I've seen it. I've had people call me up and say, Percy, they want to kick my dad out. I said, well, I remember I told you this last time. Mm-hmm. They don't have to take you. If they're disruptive, well, he's not physically abusive, but he's very loud. I said, there you go.
Yeah.
They don't have to, and a lot of them will not. Whether it's an adult day center, a skilled nursing, or retirement facility, they don't, and they don't want that because it makes more headache for the other clients that are living there. And unfortunately, sometimes that's the way it is. In this case, I believe that this father was a veteran, and I guess he had some issues, mental issues, whether it was PTSD or not.
I see.
That can't help. But I've heard stories where a certain color, a certain thing that you say that caregiver says to you in a hall, or some other person in there, they just didn't like the way they looked. It could trigger. It's something that would trigger that emotion. I was talking to a psychologist. They need to talk to a psychologist and do some tests about what something's triggering that.
I see.
I've heard it. But you're absolutely right. I mean, but one day. So I've always told people, do not let your mother or husband or father be discharged until you have a clear picture what's going to be needed. Especially if they need wound care or certain medications or oxygen things, you need to make sure you have a list. So actually July 1st, by the way, state law is enacted in Hawaii called the CARE Act, where the hospital is required to, I wouldn't say educate the caregiver, but explain to the caregiver what's going to be needed.
I see.
In terms of medication, wound care, oxygen. And they have to kind of train that person on what needs to be done when that person's discharged. Because once they're gone out of the hospital, what are you going to do? You better have a friend that's a nurse that you can call. You're not going to call the hospital. Right. What about this? What about this? Every hour, you know? But it's really important. So I tell everybody listening, if you have somebody in a hospital, do not get them discharged. I don't care what they say until you fully understand. So that's typical. And I can't fault the hospitals. Here's a list of facilities or care homes or foster care homes. But they should attach some basic questions to that. Do you want somewhere located near your work or your home? What are some basic questions you should be asking the facility? What kind of levels of care are there? What's the cost, reimbursement? What's the cost out of pocket? Is it covered by Medicaid? It's really important for people to understand Medicare, right?
Right.
Because that's something that I think we've talked about many, many times on here. But until you're actually going through this, talking to a social worker, understanding that the first 20 days are covered, can you imagine if it got to past the 20 and 30 and 80 and 100 days, your bill would be much bigger than it was, right?
Yeah, right. So I was able to when she went into the facility and they said 20 days, basically now, being that I was so dumb about, you know, like everything regarding the industry in terms of the aging, I had to find a facility to bring her in for long term now. So while she was in the facility from Queens, she was sent to the facility that she went to after that. I had basically 3 weeks to find another facility that would take her.
Because that was what's called acute care in a rehab, right?
Okay.
And so that's a 20-day period, right?
Right. And then they were willing to keep her there, I mean, beyond the 20 days, and then sort of going to we have a bed for her if you want. Because, see, these are terms they started bringing up, like assisted living versus skilled nursing, and she's beyond assisted living. And I said, I didn't know what they meant, you know. So skilled nursing facilities are fewer than the assisted living facilities.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so I didn't know that. And so when I went around, there were a lot of assisted living facilities, but not a lot of skilled nursing facilities. So I was sort of racing against time now. I was looking for...
It's just like cars. The more expensive cars, the less of them are out there, right?
Right.
There's a lot of Toyotas and Mercedes, Toyotas and Nissans, right? But when you need more care, to skilled care or memory care, you're going up the food chain. And obviously, there's going to be a lot less places like that. And it's scary because depending on where you live, it could be full or one bed, or it might be a bed next week, but not this week. So what are you doing that week?
Well, even if you find one, I mean, now it comes down to cost. I mean, we haven't even gotten there yet. I mean, it's like, who has the money? I mean, you're talking 9 to $11,000 a month now,
yeah.
You know, for to pay for this. So so the other thing that I had to do was my mom had a rental unit, rental house, and so we put that on the market to yeah. sort of help. I mean, just so that I would have a cushion on that, you know.
So we're gonna take a short break, Alvin. We want to get back to that. We're talking here with Alvin, a concerned, caring, loving son of a mother who's right now needing some care. And what I wanted to do today is really kind of explain this path and this journey and this chapter of his life. So stay tuned. We'll be back shortly after we take a short break. Thank you.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to a Medicare moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
Oahu's newest senior living community, Ilima at Lehano, is now open in the heart of Kapolei. Within this beautiful new community, offering independent living, assisted living, and memory care, you will experience a feeling of ohana that provides a sense of community and peace of mind for our kupuna. A range of spacious apartment styles are available, from large studios to spacious one- and two-bedroom plans, most with a large private lanai. Be one of the first to call Ilima your home. Visit ilimaatlehano.com. Or call 674-8022.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. We're talking with my friend, longtime friend, high school classmate, Mr. Alvin. And we're talking about really care for his mom. So if you go to generations808.com, you know, we're known as a resource magazine statewide. So if you just click on the search bar and type in assisted living, you'll see all the articles we've talked about with assisted living. If you click in, type in skilled nursing, we'll show you all the articles we've done in skilled nursing. Medicare, Social Security, same thing. There's many, many articles. One of the most popular things that we're known for is our resource page. So if you go to our website, generations808.com, look under the third tab is resources. Click on that, and we have a whole list of lists that we put in a magazine just about every issue. And we have a whole listing of senior assisted living facilities, senior clubs, senior discounts, senior support services, geriatricians, fall prevention, congregate dining sites, which is very popular. ARP articles, adult day center, which is a growing area. So we have a wealth of now of information. It's really important because, you know, I was telling Alvin off the air, you know, when you took this task on for your mom, it's not about being dumb. It's just that, where do you go for this information? Who's going to tell you the lingo ahead of time? A lot of people, well, you only have one day,
right. But
it's so common. You know, it's happening to family members. I know buddies, friends of mine from school, but it's really important to know where to go. And so that's why when we took over the magazine in January 2010 mm-hmm. with our other classmate, Wilson, was to create a place people can go for resources, specifically to Hawaii. We get a lot of calls from the mainland, emails from the mainland, but we don't want to have articles from the mainland. We want everything local. We want people to be able to, if you see an article you like, call somebody locally. So that's what we did. Go to our Facebook page, Generations Magazine, also our YouTube page, and just subscribe to our Generations Magazine YouTube page. Within, you'll see all the list of shows that we've done. I've probably done over 100 shows and topics on air, and it's just something that, you know, I just found my clients needing it and a lot of my friends. I get a call now just about every day from somebody I know. And very shortly, we can talk about workforce and retirement planning, but companies that need workers and this caregiving issue. But, you know, Alvin, we were talking about your path, and it's the first mm-hmm. chapter. And, you know, we talked about Medicare off the air. We talked about so that's all Medicare covers.
Yeah. You know. So what you're telling me off the air is that, and again, this is again someone that didn't have all the knowledge. You told me that Medicare will cover for the first 20 days.
100%.
100%. And then it'll go up to 100 days, but from day 21 to 100, they'll cover a percentage. So basically, you will have to pay out of pocket from the 21st day.
You will have to pay out of pocket.
You will have to pay. And then after the 100th day, they're not involved at all on any of the costs.
Yeah, I think it's 90 to 100 days, somewhere around there.
Yeah, but after that, it's on your own, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, so when we've had people coming on talk about Medicare. So Medicare is after the age of 65. And you have to realize that you know, Medicare covers 80% of the cost. If they have a supplemental plan, you can get a plan that covers the other 20%.
I see.
What's important to understand is that you have a certain amount of days in the hospital, a certain amount of visits to the doctor.
Right.
And that cost can be very high. Because, you know, right. when we're healthy like our age, you go to a doctor, anything major, not going to happen. When you're older, you have a great chance of having Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, have an aneurysm, have a quintuple bypass, whatever. And that's very, very expensive.
I see.
You know? A lot of people don't know where to go.
Yeah. And so going back to what I was saying right prior to break is realizing that money was essential. I mean, I had put my mom's rental property on the market. Luckily, the market is hot right now. And I think that it really is a savior for a lot of the older generations right now, because mm-hmm. they were able to buy property at a much, much lower price.
I mean, you can't do that today.
Yeah, but because of the assets that they've accumulated in the home, mm-hmm. they're able to sell that and then sort of find a fund.
So that's what you
use
to pay for the care then.
And that's going to cover maybe 4 years probably, you know, of the care. I'm roughly estimating.
Well, right now, most facilities are between $4,000 and $7,000. So, and skilled care can be running between $10,000 and $14,000 per month.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so that's very expensive. So people got to realize that. I mean, you have the financial ability to do that, but a lot of people do not.
Do not. Yes.
And so, what do? They go on with the state Medicaid program. And so, and they have to qualify asset-wise, whether it's monthly income. They take all your income but $50, and you kind of have assets that cannot be in a trust. You can't have real estate up to a certain level. I think it's $875,000 equity. But other than that, there's a 5-year look back. The property cannot be in a revocable trust. So it's something that I think. You know, in fact, this morning's news talked about how they're looking at trying to cut down Medicaid and Medicare.
Right.
And I think at some point they're going to have to do that. So what do we do? I mean, fortunately, so you decide on a skilled facility near your house with the first 20 days?
For the first 20 days. Mm-hmm. And
what was that like?
It was an older facility, and there was something that was. I think back to my dad. My dad told me when he was alive, he was had lunch with his friend, and my friend's dad said to him, "Make sure you don't give any of your assets away, because once you do, give them away to your children, then they're going to throw you in a home." I think his idea of home was something that was more clinical, you know, in terms of like with the hard floors, like a hospital, like an older hospital.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how the facility was. And I don't want to knock it. I'm not going to even bring the name of the facility up right now. But like, I think that is what my mom experienced, and she did not like it. And I think maybe older people have an image of these facilities. Of care facilities like that. But I can tell you that because I was able to sell my mom's property, I was fortunate enough to find this new facility. And I'm going to mention their name. Kalakaua Gardens.
Yeah, I love the place. You know? Steve Nawahine.
Yes.
If you're looking at places and you want to stay in town, check them out.
Yeah.
They can do a great work. And it's brand new.
It's brand new. And so because it's brand new, they had beds. So I was able to put her there. And I think the reason why I brought...
But did you look at any other facilities in town?
I did. But like, again... there was a problem with non-skilled nursing. I mean,
And not every place has skilled nursing.
And the reason why that's important is because if you go assisted living and you need to be able to, you need to be mobile, first of all. But if you become immobile and you're in a skilled assisted living facility, they have the right to ask you to leave.
And they will.
And so with my mom's state, you know, she was already having problems walking. I had to find a skilled nursing facility. And this was one that came up. And because of the lack of time and just really, I mean, just in, being in a state of panic.
Well, you had 20 days this time.
I had to sell a home. I had to sell a home.
Wow.
I had to get my family's finances in order. The reason why I brought up my whole with my dad saying don't give your assets away. He basically, because of that, I basically honored that and didn't get involved. But I found out he didn't create the trust accounts necessary for me to be able to use the assets that were available. So I had to go and take my mom in a wheelchair to banks to sign papers so that I would be able to write checks from her accounts.
But she's competent though, right?
She's competent, but it's very difficult to move her.
Depending on, you know. Well, you could have got a power of attorney.
Yeah. I mean, these are things again. Like, I mean, you brought me on the air not to sound like someone as an expert. I'm coming from the everyday
that's
person.
Commonplace.
Yeah, and so you know, like maybe speaking to you, you would have been able to maybe save me a lot of legwork. But
I still think if you don't have a power attorney, you need to get one.
Yeah. No, I've since done all of that.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
I've done all of that, but you know, like I guess, you know, like going back, I want to let people know that the facilities that they've created now, again, they do cost. But if you're able to, there are some facilities that are very, very nice. I mean, my mom's not happy.
You're at a nice place. You know? This is brand new.
Yeah.
I keep on saying that, but it makes a big difference.
It does. No, it's almost to the point where I have, I think if I'm able to have enough for myself at the end, then I wouldn't mind going to a place like...
I would recommend you, because you're young enough, because you're about my age, to buy long-term care insurance.
Buy long-term care.
You want to pay cents on a dollar or a dollar for dollar.
I see.
Look at it that way.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week. We were talking about caregiving and caregivers that I'd rather pay 20 cents on a dollar than dollar for dollar.
That's true. You're right. I understand.
I would just tell you, look at that, because... And make sure your wife has it more than you, because like I said, if she outlives you, which she probably will, she'll be caring for you. And when you're gone, who's taking care of her?
Right.
That's really important. But so the facility is brand new. How is the food, by the way? You eat there?
I don't eat there, but like there's all these separate dining. Like so they have independent living. And again, that's someone that is pretty much has a room and sort of can come and go. I think almost, I mean, again, I don't want to.
It's like an apartment.
Right? Like an apartment.
My cousin stays there.
Oh, okay. And then from independent living, you have assisted living, which is they sort of help you around, but you're mobile. You know, you're able to at least walk with a walker. And then you have your own separate dining for the assisted living.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. And then you also have for the skilled nursing, you have their own dining also. So,
oh, they have separate dining for that too?
Yeah, because
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's in a building and it's on different floors.
Oh, I see.
You know, as opposed to like, you know, some other facilities where I saw it's open sprawled. Dining. Yeah. And then so they have maybe one or two dining facilities, you know.
Well,
so
that's kind of cool.
So I tell you, it's like, you know, my dad's fear of these retirement places. I mean, I guess it's founded to some degree, but it's unfounded for some of the newer places that they've created.
Well, like I said, Kalkau just opened up, and the skilled nursing just opened up very, very recently. I mean, they were approved for skilled nursing only like a month ago. So that's why, but now it's, like you said, now we talked about that. You said in another few months it could be full.
Yes. Right?
Because they just opened up skilled nursing.
And the other thing, I spoke to Noreen, who's you know, part of admissions and everything.
Yeah, she's good.
There. She recommended to me, she's done it for her own family, put your deposit in. It's a refundable deposit.
100% refundable.
But just to be able to have your name in, because they are going to go based on when your deposit goes in.
That's right.
So, you know, if you're thinking about it but not sure, you may just want to go ahead and put your deposit in, because she told me when they first opened, it was $250. Now it's $500. She said in a few years, it'll probably be $5,000. So
I'm sure.
You know, so again.
So your mom's not in. Do they have a dementia or memory unit over there? Separate?
They do have a memory unit yes, they do.
But your mom is okay with that. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the things, you know, I try to forewarn people that you have to plan for the worst case scenario.
Right.
When it's going to get worse, because almost always it always gets worse.
Right.
You know, and it's something that got to prepare not only your own family, but if you have any cousins, aunties, uncles, you know, does anybody go visit there though?
Yeah, you know, I think for my mom to have visitors, I mean, that's essential, I think.
Yeah.
And again, I think different people have different number of visitors per day or per week, but it makes a difference, because my wife's grandmother just passed, and she was staying in a foster home, and the person who was running the foster home told me this. She said she would actually go and look at the log and compare the number of visitors she had over the other people who were staying there. So that actually made me realize it's very important to go and visit. Because
let me know if you want to come over with you. I don't remember me from when you went to your graduation party.
Yeah, I know, really. But you know, I think it's like just because you find somewhere to put your parents, I mean, it's easy to neglect them too, I think, you know, because you feel that they're taken care of. But I think the whole human element where they're seeing people who are familiar to them, they're able to, I mean, well, she seems to like stretch her lunches and dinners when I go, because she eats for over an hour, you know.
So we got about 1 minute left, Alvin. Thank you so much, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's great that we hear a firsthand experience. One tip, if you could tell our audience, listeners out there, about going through this journey, you're only in chapter two now.
Right.
What would be one tip to, besides going to Generations 808 website?
Well, actually, it's pretty much tied into Generations 808 website, because my tip is, please try to educate yourself as much as you can, because you will come to a point where you will need to make these very hard decisions. And it's much easier to make these decisions if you have all of the facts already ingrained in your head, you know, because if you have to make some decisions that you have no idea on, like, for example, finding a therapy facility for my mom. I mean, I just did it blindly. But, I mean, having the knowledge beforehand would make it a much better...
Easier experience
for you, whoever is going through this experience.
Yeah. I give you a lot of credit, Alvin. And, you know, you can always call me. You know that. Yeah. Just don't call me past 12 o'clock at night. But you can always call me, Alvin. You know that. All my classmates from MidPac can call me. A lot of people that didn't graduate with us still call and email me. And it's really important that, you know, what Wilson and I help create is something that we're seeing more and more people need.
Yes.
Which is resources. You're absolutely right. And that's why I try to tell people, you know, whether people, you know me or not, they can always call me. I'll refer you out to people that I trust with my own mom. Questions to ask is really important. What questions to ask people when you go to check out a facility or whether it's rehab or skilled nursing, dementia, whatever. But I would highly recommend if there's any support group meetings they have.
I think that'll help. Anything
specific to your mom's health issues, talk to the doctors.
Right.
And then, you know, just talk to the family and make sure she has people coming to visit her, you know. So let me know. I mean, the food's good over there.
And again, I just spoke to someone today and they kind of brought up this term, the silver tsunami. And I don't know where that came about. But
That silent tsunami?
A silver tsunami.
Yeah, it's been here for a while.
Yeah, and I think it's very real. So people, please, you know, be aware of that and make yourself educated.
I appreciate it. Yeah, Generation808.com. Don't forget August 19th, our 11th annual Aging in Place workshop at the Alamon Hotel. Check out the paper. On Tuesday, you'll see a big ad in a couple of weeks. But thanks to Alvin Suzuki. Appreciate it very much. Let's go get a hot dog. It's National Hot Dog Day today, by the way.
Okay, all right.
All right. Thank you. As always, everybody, aloha and live well.